Hello, this is Terry Burdick reading to you from the Danville Commercial News, the weekend edition, for Saturday, July 18th and Sunday, July 19th. We'll start on the front page. Our top headline on page one today, 20-year plan. Proposal stresses recreation areas as Danville's strengths. This comes to us from reporter Christy Jankowski, Dateline Danville. The priorities for the city's next 20 years are focusing on making Danville a thriving small city where people want to live, visit, and invest. Logan Cronk, Community Development Administrator, thanked the public for their involvement with the 20-year plan, with over 700 residents participating. This was a massive undertaking, Cronk said. You'll see the public participation was great. This isn't just them or the city writing this. This is the entire city of Danville, and we're seeking your blessing after this presentation tonight to go ahead and adopt. David Sidney and Sean Ager, consultants with Place Foundry out of Rockford, gave a presentation at Tuesday's Public Works meeting for their 20-year plan. You're the hub of the county, Sidney said. You have a lot of assets with your parks, Lake Vermilion being one. Many people in this process said, how can that become a greater asset utilized by the public? Sidney also said public safety was paramount among the participants. In our survey process, street ratings came in averaging 2.6 out of a 5 scale in terms of conditions, he said. Sidney said while the city has taken hits in the manufacturing sector, the city appears to be seeing some sort of an uptick. Ager says they will do the... Oh, wait. Apologies. This kind of jumps around a bit. This will be a four... There will be four phases of the plan. It launches in 2026 and is going to run through four phases that we sort of outlined and project going through 2050, Ager said. The first phase is full of Pathfinder projects and focus areas with smaller projects. Road work near the Lynch Road corridor is a priority. Streets and sidewalks were some of the lower rated things when we did our community surveys, and so you know, really understanding where that investment needs to go, and so that investment is really tied to the focus area, Ager added. We're looking at manufacturing, logistics, workforce mobility, recreation access, and downtown vitality. The pair highlighted the Danville parks. The parks were something that were constantly brought up as one of the strongest assets for the community, Ager said. There are already current tournaments and visitor spending coming in, and we really think that's something that Danville can continue to build and be a great return on investment for them. Ager said they're also focusing on connecting the Kickapoo Rail Trail to connect all of Danville recreationally. As for the sports economy, the focus is mostly on sports tourism. Ager added that the Vermilion County Regional Airport is also a strong asset to the city's economy. It doesn't recommend shrinking the city, Ager said, with a focus on current infrastructure. It really is focused on making everything work harder. Cronk reminded the public that this plan is not set in stone, and Ager added, comprehensive plans are intended to be updated every 5 to 10 years, plus the end goal is national recognition. This is not a permanent plan, Cronk added. This is a fluid plan. This should be updated whenever things change, right? So everybody needs to understand that. The full plan will go to the council for approval on Tuesday. Some statewide news also made our front page with the headline, Ammons and Husband Plead Not Guilty to Corruption Charges. And this comes to us from Peter Hancock at the Capital News, Illinois. Dateline Urbana. State Representative Carol Ammons and her husband, Champaign County Clerk Aaron Ammons, entered not guilty pleas to federal corruption charges Thursday while their supporters claimed their prosecutions were racially motivated. The two were charged in an indictment handed down July 7th in the Central District of Illinois. They made initial appearances in separate hearings before the federal magistrate judge, who summarized the charges and explained their rights. Their trial was tentatively set for September 22nd, although that is likely to be postponed due to the volume of documents being used as evidence in the cases. Both remained free while waiting trial. Meanwhile, Republicans in the Illinois House have also called for a special investigating committee to look into the allegations behind Carol Ammons' indictment, a process that could eventually lead to her ouster from the General Assembly. Carol Ammons, an 11-year veteran of the Illinois House, faces 8 counts of wire fraud, 1 count of making false statements to investigators, and 1 count of conspiracy to obstruct justice. Aaron Ammons faces 1 count each of conspiracy and obstruction of justice. I maintain that these allegations are not true, and I look forward to responding to them through the legal process when the facts can be fully examined, she told reporters outside the courthouse following the hearing. Also speaking outside the courthouse were Cam Howard, a reparations activist from Chicago, who suggested the indictments were part of a U.S. Department of Justice campaign to shut down efforts to provide reparations to descendants of enslaved African Americans. That included DOJ's motion in June to intervene in a lawsuit challenging the city of Evanston reparation programs, he said. Representative Carol Ammons has been one of Illinois' strongest and most consistent champions of reparations, racial justice, and transformative public policy, Howard said. Her indictment must therefore be examined within the broader environment in which reparations programs, the public officials who advance them, and the communities that support them are increasingly being confronted with federal hostility. Prosecutors allege Carol Ammons engaged in schemes to convert campaign funds to personal use and to steer state grant funds to nonprofit organizations that employed her daughter, Titiana Ammons. The indictment also accuses Aaron Ammons of conspiring to help cover up the schemes. From 2017 through 2025, the indictment alleges Carol Ammons converted campaign funds to personal use by issuing checks to individuals or vendors and then having them return a portion of her in the form of kickbacks or gifts. It also alleges Carol Ammons and her daughter received financial benefits in excess of $100,000 beginning in 2017 through roughly 2023. Ammons is also accused of lying to an FBI agent in 2024 about her daughter being paid out of state grant funds through one of the nonprofits Titiana Ammons was affiliated with. Aaron Ammons is also accused of engaging in a conspiracy to cover up the schemes, including instructing one potential witness to muddy the waters with the FBI to obstruct its ability to trace the illegal cash payments to Carol Ammons, according to the indictment. Titiana Ammons was not charged in the indictment, but faces other federal charges in an unrelated case accusing her of defrauding state and federal unemployment programs and collecting enhanced pandemic-era benefits. Dozens of spectators crowded into a small courtroom to witness the hearing, including some of Carol Ammons' political supporters. "I think this is an injustice," Marianne Blackburn of Champaign told Capital News Illinois. "I mean, given the level of corruption in our government today, especially in Washington, D.C., the amounts that they're talking about are also minuscule compared to the millions and billions of dollars that are the amount of corruption there is in Washington, D.C. And yeah, I know. I don't believe the charges." According to prosecutors, the wire fraud and obstruction charges each carry maximum sentences of 20 years in prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release, $250,000 in fines, and a $100,000 special assessment and restitution. The charge of making false statements to law enforcement is punishable by up to 5 years in prison and 3 years supervised release, a $250,000 fine, and a $100,000 special assessment. None of the charges carries any mandatory minimum sentence, meaning even if they were convicted on all charges, they would not necessarily serve any time in prison. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. It's funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. You can reach Capital News Illinois on the following social media outlets: Facebook at facebook.com, Capital News Illinois Instagram, and on Twitter, at Capital News Ill. Our final article for Front Page News today turns to our school district. Administration raises tabled at the D-118 meeting. This too comes to us from Christy Jankowski. Danville District 118 Board tabled voting on raises on Wednesday until the next board meeting in August. Christopher Easton, a D-118 board member, raised concerns regarding approving raises for administration staff in the district. "Our responsibility to the community requires us to proceed with caution," Easton said. "We have only 46 days of cash on hand, and we don't yet know the final cost of recent storm damage." Easton is referring to the damage caused to the Mark Denman Elementary building during storms in June. Easton asked for the item to be removed from the consent agenda earlier in the meeting. "I think it's important," Easton said. "I don't consider it to be a non-controversial item, which is what the consent agenda is for. I believe it is to be controversial because we're stewards of public funds." Easton really emphasized approving raises when the greater cash reserves are wiped out is fiscally irresponsible. Board President Darlene Halloran motioned to table the agenda item. Motion to table supersedes other motions. There's no further discussion. It calls for a vote. So if we vote to table, then there's no more discussion tonight, Halloran said, and the vote effectively ended the discussion. Superintendent John Hart says there will be no change in the district's finances in August than now. However, what I wish this would have been is a conversation before tonight, Hart said. I don't think we'll be bringing back administrators or flat-salaried employees wearing the smiles on their face that they should have this time of year. Hart added that the staff is why the district is a $1.6 million deficit versus an $8 million deficit. He also touched on possibility changing the board's policy on who can speak to the board attorneys. Easton called the restrictions wrong, arguing that all members should be able to seek legal advice in some fashion while also realizing there's a cost to the matter. If it's 6-1 and you guys all think it's the way you think it should be, and I don't, I'd like to at least be able to get some sort of legal opinion on that by talking to the board attorney about it, Easton said. The board will review the policy after Hart collects information from members on how it should be revised. Continuing with local news on page 2, city and organizations partner to continue the Labor Day Parade. And this is the staff report. The City of Danville, along with East Central Illinois AFL-CIO and East Central Illinois Building and Construction Trades Council, announced a partnership on Friday to ensure the continuation of the Danville Labor Day Parade, a community tradition that's been celebrated for more than 90 years. According to a release from the city, as one of the largest Labor Day parades in the region, the event honors the contributions of organized labor in America and throughout the world. We're incredibly proud to work alongside the East Central Illinois AFL-CIO to continue a parade that means so much to our community, said Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. The Labor Day Parade is an opportunity to recognize workers, celebrate our community, and bring residents together. This year's Labor Day Parade will be held on Monday, September 7th. The Grand Marshals will be Connie Ostrander and Jim Ostrander in memoriam. Parade lineup will begin at 7:30 a.m. with the parade stepping off promptly at 9. The parade lineup will be located at the Hope Unlimited Church parking lot and along Walnut Street. The parade route will travel south on Vermilion Street, beginning at Williams Street and ending at the Riverfront Plaza, formerly Town Center. Labor organizations, businesses, and community groups interested in participating in the parade need to register at signupgenius.com. And then just go ahead and search for the Danville Labor Day Parade. For more information, you can contact Rihanna Pierce by email at rpierce, that's R-P-I-E-R-C-E, at cityofdanville.org, or you can call Renea at 217-431-2879. In more local events, for those of you that love musical theater and are willing to put yourself out there as a performer, the DLO Musical Theater will be holding auditions for Carrie. DLO Musical Theater announces open auditions for its upcoming fall 2026 production of Carrie, the musical. According to a release, auditions will take place from 6 to 9 p.m. on August 3rd, 4th, and 5th at DLO's backstage at 141 North Walnut Street in Danville. Directed by Paul Strain, Carrie, the musical tells the haunting story of what happens when high school bullying goes horribly wrong. Based on the classic novel by Stephen King, the show follows Carrie White, a teenage outcast bullied by the popular crowd at school and dominated by her cruelly controlling mother at home. When Carrie discovers she possesses a unique and dangerous telekinetic power, her tormentors quickly realize that if pushed too far, she isn't afraid to use it. The production features a book by Lawrence D. Cohen, the screenwriter of the classic film, music by Academy Award winner Michael Gore, also of the musical fame, and lyrics by Academy Award winner Dean Pritchford, who also did Fame and Footloose. DLO is looking for teens and adults with prior theatrical experience. Appointments to audition can be booked online at dlomusicaltheater.com. Auditionees are asked to prepare a song for their choice that best demonstrates their vocal ability. The song does not need to be from Carrie. Please bring sheet music with the intended 40 to 60 second selection clearly marked for the accompanist. Auditions will be conducted individually and will consist of singing the prepared piece, singing scales to determine vocal range, and reading selected scenes from the script either solo or with other auditionees. DLO is seeking a diverse cast of vocalists and actors to fill several principal and ensemble roles. Attendance at rehearsals is mandatory. The rehearsal schedule consists of Sunday afternoons alongside Tuesday and Thursday evenings. Auditionees must bring a complete list of any scheduling conflicts between the audition dates and the final performance to include on their audition form. Carrie the Musical will hit the stage at the Dick Van Dyke Auditorium at Danville High School for three performances on October 9th and 10th, and one again on the 11th. Tickets will be $23 for adults and $7 for students and children. And if you need more information or want to book your audition slot, visit dlomusicaltheater.com. Normally, we'll take a break right about now at the midpoint of our time together to look at the local death notices that were received on Friday, but there are none today. So we're going to continue on with some local news. Ellis White named finalist for Ms. Veteran America. And this is the staff report. Mackenzie Ellis White's life has been deeply rooted in service, both in her military and civilian careers. According to a news release, Ellis White has been named a top 20 finalist in the National 2026 Ms. Veteran America competition, which focuses on advocacy, leadership, and service. The competition exists specifically to support the mission of Final Salute, Inc., a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing safe and suitable housing, emergency financial assistance, and supportive services to homeless women veterans and their children. I'm honored to stand with my fellow sisters in arms to advocate for those who have served our country, Ellis White said. Women veterans are the fastest growing segment of the homeless veteran population, and their needs are often overlooked. As a finalist, my mission is to amplify their voices, raise critical awareness, and ensure that no woman who has served her country is ever without a safe place to call home. A veteran of the U.S. Army Reserve, she served for 8 years as a behavioral health specialist. During her deployment to Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2011, she served as the non-commissioned officer in charge of two detainee behavioral health clinics. This demanding experience sharpened her leadership, crisis management, and cross-cultural communication skills, setting the foundation for her transition into civilian mental health counseling. Currently, Ellis White practices as a licensed clinical professional counselor at Empower Counseling and serves as the board president for the Veterans Assistant Commission, where she oversees strategic initiatives to connect local veterans and their dependents with essential resources and benefits. Throughout the competition, Ellis White is championing the theme, Combat Ready, Crown Worthy. The slogan represents the dual identity of women service members as warriors and compassionate leaders. In addition to her national advocacy efforts, she's hosting community outreach events, including yoga fundraisers and local community days to raise visibility and funds for Final Salute, Inc. For more information about Ms. Veteran America and the critical mission of Final Salute, Inc., please visit finalsaluteinc.org. Best wishes to you, Mackenzie. A couple of other local events of interest this week. Taps on Tuesday. This week's Taps on Tuesday program will welcome members of the Danville Lions Club. Cascading taps will be sounded by Anita Zeller, Keith Buslog, and the guest Bugler. Taps on Tuesday is presented at 6 p.m. each Tuesday through Labor Day in the Spring Hill Cemetery Soldiers Circle by the War Museum, Danville Township, and the Ward Hill Layman Civil War Roundtable. In case of rain, the program will be held at the War Museum. If you have any questions, 217-431-0034, and I will work on learning how to say Bugler. Amish author visits Danville. Kevin Williams, the editor of The Amish Cook, is visiting Silk and Spine Books and Boutique at 137 North Vermilion Street in Danville to sign copies of his new book, Not So Simple, My Adventures Among the Amish, Mennonites, Shakers, and Other Plain People. Williams will talk about the column and his journalism journey, answer questions, and sign books. The event will be held at 2 p.m. on July 23rd at Silk and Spine Books and Boutique at 137 North Vermilion Street. And again, that is at 2 p.m. next Saturday, I believe it's the 23rd. July events at the Hobson Library, the Hobson Public Library at 110 North 4th Street in Hobson has two more events set for July 23rd is a Thursday. So let's go back. Amish author visits Danville, 2 p.m. on Thursday, July 23rd, 2 p.m. Silk and Spine. I apologize thinking that was a Saturday. And then the Hoopston event is hosting a History Under Our Feet scavenger hunt set for 2 p.m. on Thursday, July 23rd as well. Teams, which should include at least one adult age 18 or older, will have 90 minutes to find and take pictures of clues around the area. The team that finds the most clues in the allotted time is the winner. Pre-registration is recommended, and to sign up, you can stop by the library or call 217-283-6711. And to end the month, the Hoopston Public Library is hosting a ride through time from 1 to 3 p.m. on Thursday, July 30th. A collection of vintage vehicles will be on display, and as well as a display of vintage tools, toys, household items, and more, and that will be at the library. Get your picture taken in the History Corner. Top it off with a cool treat from Sunday Funday. For more events at the Hoopston Public Library, you can give them a call at 217-283-6711. There's a lot of historical stuff going on and around our area, and here's another one, Time Capsule on display. This too comes to us from Christy Jankowski. This is Dateline Fithian. 50 years ago, a time capsule was buried in Fithian. Back in May, the time capsule was unearthed and its contents are now ready to be seen. Roma Smith with the Fithian Women's Club says there will be an open house to display the unearthed 50-year time capsule from 1 to 3 p.m. on Sunday, July 26th at the Fithian Town Hall and Community Center. The public is invited to view the contents and take pictures. Although the opening of the capsule had been anticipated with high hopes, water had seeped into the donated vault, which was a water-resistant infant's casket that was sealed with tar, Smith said. The casket turned out not to be capable of withstanding nature's elements, as was witnessed by onlookers when the top slid off the box before it was raised from the earth. While many of the items within were destroyed, some were salvaged. Smith said the mementos that were made of paper were unfortunately lost. However, she said a few more durable items from local businesses were found intact and will be displayed. Among other things are advertising pins, a snow scraper, and a few coins from 1976, as well as a coin made for the Fithian 1970 centennial. The time capsule was unearthed on May 12th at the Veterans Park in Fithian. This is a rare opportunity to see some historic treasures as we celebrate the 200th anniversary of Vermilion County, Smith said. The village of Fithian will then own the capsule and all of its contents. Fithian Women's Club is part of the General Federation of Women's Clubs and is a social and service group for women within the Oakwood School District in Vermilion County. We support the counties of Fithian, Muncie, and Oakwood, as well as important nonprofit organizations in Danville, the state of Illinois, and internationally. I am curious, what is going to be in a 50-year time capsule? Well, let's turn our attention to the editorial page today, and here's our lead editorial. The headline is Time to Help an Old Friend. Danville's Fisher Theater stands watch over downtown, just as it has since it was constructed in 1884. The theater was an attraction from the beginning, bringing in audiences for all types of performances. Like many older theaters, the Fisher fell on hard times in the 1980s, but a dedicated group of people combined their efforts along with the city officials to rescue the structure from the wrecking ball. The Fisher's doors are open again thanks to a major gift from the Julius W. Hegler II Foundation and the continued commitment of a dedicated group of volunteers. Audiences again enjoy a variety of attractions from live music to movies to community events. As grand as the Fisher now appears, a good chunk of work remains to be done. Executive Director Ashton Greer and the other board members recently obtained an Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity grant of $280,000 to refurbish the facility's basement. Bids are being accepted to create dressing rooms, bathrooms, showers, and a green room for waiting artists. When completed, the work will add to the theater's ability to bring in big-name entertainers. Work will also include renovating the box office, gift shop, and the Terry Lake Cafe in the lobby. Another campaign now underway aims to replace the Fisher's 646 seats with new, roomier, and more audience-friendly seats. A $600 donation purchases a seat along with an engraved plaque to honor the donor. So far, the campaign has brought in $70,200 towards its $387,600 goal, according to a recent Fisher News release. For information on the campaign and upcoming attraction, visit the theater's website at fishertheater.com. Brian White, Grammy-winning country music star with 6 number one hits, will headline tonight's show. Other events coming up reflect the Fishers' eclectic offerings. July 25th, it'll be Neon Rodeo, a 90s tribute. August 15th, you can head to the Fisher for a fundraising event for the theater. On August 22nd, Fisher Fest, big stories, short films, sponsored by the Halloran Family Foundation. And August 29th, there'll be a tribute night to the Eagles. All of this hard work is designed to make the Fisher a premier entertainment destination that will attract people from throughout the area to Danville. That not only means a good time will be had by all, but will benefit the city's restaurants, hotels, and other attractions. Consider helping the efforts at the Fisher by participating in the Take Your Seat at the Fisher Theater campaign, by volunteering, by buying tickets to shows, or donating whatever you can. Your help can ensure the Fisher's bright marquee lights light up downtown for many years to come. Well, it's time to look at local sports. And here's what Marvin Hallman has in store for us today. The lead story in our sports section, a dominant decade. Speakers win 10th straight division title. This is Dateline Rantoul. Since 2016, the Danville Post 210 Speakers have been making the American Legion 4th Division Tournament. On Thursday, the Speakers were able to make it a full decade of dominance in the event, defeating Rantoul Post 287 12-5 at the Rantoul Family Complex. Speakers coach Brent Hart has not been coached for all of the division titles, but he has been a good part of the successes over the years. "I've been head coach for 4 years and bench coach under Coach Alan Shepard," Hart said. "It is just the culture that has been there. Guys are here to win. That's what we do. We win, and we compete at state." In 2016, the Speakers beat Mattoon for the division title. While Mattoon is still around, a lot of other Legion teams like Champaign and Bloomington are not. Hart said this is a testament to the culture and the succession of players wanting to follow what older guys have done. "I started playing 8U and have been part of the team ever since," Easton Barney said. "A lot of those guys have played together since they were young, and we have a good bond and that carries. We know what's expected of us to win here and then go to state and play some good baseball there. A lot of guys grew up in the system and they watched the older kids," Hart said. "They were 7 or 8 years old when Coach Shepard won the first division tournament, and now they go out and they expect to win. The expectation is to win division and to win state. They don't expect to lose a game in division, so it's good to see. And the Speakers were not trying to lose from the start. After Rantoul scored in the top of the first, the Speakers scored 6 runs, which was highlighted by Marvin Davis III's double with the bases loaded to bring in 3 runs. Marvin came up huge for us in the first inning and cleaned the bases right out of the game, and we put up 6, Hart said. Rantoul scored 4 runs in the third to cut the Post's 210 lead to 7-5, but the pitching of Cam Harris and Cruz Dubois, along with good hitting and taking advantage of some Rantoul mistakes, were key in expanding the lead. Well, congratulations, gentlemen. For the season, the Speakers are 23-10, and they'll try to repeat as state champions next week at Aviston. Post 210 will start play on Wednesday. If you're a big fan of the Danville Dans, Nelson gives Dans a silver lining en route, and this comes to us from Chad Dare. "Getting back onto the mound was never the goal for Danville Dans infielder Nick Nelson this summer. The Parkland sophomore-to-be came to Danville Stadium this summer looking for at-bats after just getting 32 this spring for the Cobras, who advanced to the NJCAA Division II World Series. I didn't play a lot," Nelson said. "I came here knowing I needed to get some ABs to develop and see where it can get me going into my sophomore year. Trying to become the next two-way player wasn't even on Nelson's radar. If you told me this morning, I would have bet money that I wasn't going to pitch tonight," he said. But there in the 7th inning of Lafayette's eventual 17-5 win over Danville in a Prospect League baseball game at Danville Stadium, Nelson was throwing warm-up pitches in the bullpen to catcher J.J. Basinger. The Dans was already using infielder Will Burke as a relief pitcher. He came into the game in the 5th inning. "It's great when you have guys that are excited to come in and play and pitch, especially position players when we're down big already," said Danville manager Cam Gross, whose team was down 11-5 when he went to his infielders to finish the game. Well, that sounds like a tough one for the Dans. They did end up losing 16-9. Well, that was a quick 30 minutes together. Taking a look at our weather for the week, let me see. Hot, 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 hot. But a little bit better than last week. So our highs are in the low 80s. When we get to Wednesday, our highs are in the high 70s. Looks like our best chance of rain will be Tuesday with a few morning showers, but most of the week looks sunny, less humid than we've had, less hot than we've had, and on Thursday and Friday we've got some haze kind of heading our way. This has been Terry Burdick reading to you from the Danville Commercial News. I look forward to reading again with you soon. Have a great week.